The Lord be with you. When I was a child, I was told a riddle. If God can do anything, can God make a rock so big that even God can't pick it up? Of course, the point of the riddle is to try to trip us up in human logic to think maybe God can't do anything. But the truth is, the riddle reveals the limitations of our human logic to understand God. Because the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us there are indeed things that God cannot do. And the first thing the Bible tells us that God cannot do is from the book of Genesis, chapter 9. And it's that God cannot again allow a flood to destroy all life on earth. Now, it doesn't say anything about not using an asteroid or a volcano to destroy all life on earth, so maybe it's not super comforting when you realize that's a pretty big loophole. But the point isn't the means by which God promises to destroy, not to destroy all life on earth. The point is the reason why. Because you see, at the beginning of the story of the flood, in Genesis chapter 6, it says that God saw that human hearts and human thoughts were inclined towards evil, and it grieves God, and so God decides to put an end to humanity, to wash away all the peoples of this world except for one family, that of Noah, who God saw to be righteous. But then, after the flood comes about, it says that in Genesis chapter 8, God sees that even Noah and even his family is not perfect, not without sin, and God realizes that humans are by their inclination bent towards evil thoughts and evil hearts. And so the flood doesn't change people. But what changes is God accepts us for who we are with all our faults and all our failures. And so God places the rainbow in the sky after the flood, not only to remind God not to bring another flood to destroy all life, but to remind God that we are who God made us to be, so that when God rages against us as a mighty storm, angry at our sin, God might see the beauty of the rainbow and remember the beauty that is in each and every one of us. The rainbow is a promise that God cannot hate what God has made. The second thing that the scriptures tell us today that God cannot do is stop loving us. And this story, too, involves water. You see, in the waters of the River Jordan, Jesus is baptized, and God says to him, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." There are no conditions to that statement. There are no terms of service. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just a statement of fact. You are my Son. I love you. I am pleased with you. And you may say, sure, it's easy for God to say that to Jesus, but the radical nature of our faith is that when we are baptized into Christ's baptism. And so the words that God says to Jesus in his baptism, God says to us in our baptism. But as soon as God says those words to us, Satan comes and tries to convince us not to believe it. And it's easy for Satan to do because, like Jesus, the Holy Spirit so often sends us into the wilderness, into places where we experience desolation and barrenness, places on the edge of society where we feel alone. And there Satan will say to us, well, if God loves you so much, why are you here in this wilderness? Now, the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, they'll focus specifically on the temptations that Satan gives Jesus in the 40 days in the wilderness. But Mark's Gospel, the Gospel that we are reading today, it doesn't focus on Satan's temptations. Instead, it focuses on the ways in which God's love shows up even in the wilderness. You see, Mark's Gospel is the only one to specify that while Jesus is in the wilderness, it is not only angels who are with them, but also the wild beasts. Because you see, sometimes the Holy Spirit pushes us into the wilderness so that we might face the very things that terrify us and learn that even the wild beasts of which we are afraid can be agents of God's grace. And it makes sense. In the waters of baptism, God says that God has no choice but to love us who are both saints and sinners at the same time. And so God's love for us is both that of an angel and that of a wild beast at the same time. For sometimes God's love comes to us like an angel who waits on us with gentleness and invites us to rest. But sometimes God's love roars in our face like a wild lion, terrifying us, arousing us out of complacency, and pushing us into action. And so as we wander through this wilderness that is life, sometimes God's love will be like that of an angel and sometimes like that of a wild beast, but it will always be there for us. Because God's love for us literally cannot cease. The third thing the scriptures tell us today that God cannot do is abandon us. Isaiah 49:15 says, God says, can a woman forget the child that she nursed at her breast? Can a woman forget the child who is the fruit of her womb? Yet even these may forget. Yet I will never forget you. In Isaiah, God tells us that God literally cannot forget us. But it is our reader from 1 Peter today that shows us the profound reality of what that means, because 1 Peter chapter 3 says that not only does Jesus die to bring us who believe to God, but that on the cross, Jesus takes on human sin and death so that he might go to those who are held captive by sin and death. Which is to say that Jesus willingly goes to hell. Why? Why would Jesus, the Son of God, go to hell? Because there are people there. There are people that God made. There are God's children. And God can never forget God's children. God literally cannot abandon them. Even though these people were drowned in the flood of God's anger, they are God's children, and so Jesus willingly goes into the depths of hell. On the cross, he submits himself to die like a sinner so that like a sinner, he might be locked into hell. And there, from the inside, he leads the greatest jailbreak in history, leading even those who drowned in Noah's flood out of the gates of hell and death and into the kingdom of heaven, because God can never abandon one of God's children. You see, our all-powerful God has done the impossible. Our God has created a love for us so strong that God is powerless against it. God has made a love for us so big that even the storms of God's anger cannot destroy it. God has made a love for us so big that even in the deserts of our doubt, God cannot lose it. God has made a love for us so big that even in the depths of hell, God cannot forget it. God has bound God to us in love through the waters of the flood, through the waters of baptism, through the waters of Christ's blood. God binds God's self to these things through the power of God's word, making all these waters one and the same, making them the waters of promise, the waters of promise into which this very day we will baptize Clyde and into which you were also baptized. So that when you feel yourself drowning in the waves of guilt and shame, you may look up and see the rainbow and remember that you have passed through the waters of the flood and God cannot hate you. And when you feel yourself lost in the wilderness of doubt, you may look down and see the waters of baptism and remember that you are surrounded by angels and beasts who love you because God cannot stop loving you. And when you feel yourself trapped in the depths of hell, you may look out and see there the crucified Christ in hell with you and remember that you have passed through the water of his blood and God cannot abandon you. For you have been baptized into the waters of promise. You are God's beloved child with whom God is well pleased. And even God can't change that. Amen.